The old fisherman at the end of the bar was there when I came in. He always sits there, on the stool closest to the door, like a rumpled sentry. He stirs occasionally, lifting up his head, repositioning his dirty San Diego Padres baseball cap. The edges of the bill are frayed and oily. And he looks around occasionally, almost like he's taking a census. Keeping track of who's in the bar. And then he turns his head back to face front, and he lowers it once again to his beer. I'm at the other end of the bar, leaning, not even taking a stool, because I'm late. I'm late, and I just want to have this beer and go. I mean, I wasn't late when I came in here. I was sort of on time, but I didn't really want to be on time. I didn't want to be on time. The truth is, I was even a little bit early. I was a little nervous. I'm kind of a nervous kind of guy. I've been coming down here to the Salton Sea, hanging out in these small little desert towns for a couple years now. I'm writing a series of books about the region, the people, the environmental, and theological, and yes, even eschatological insights that I find unfolding here. As the world starts to skate or trip or slip towards its end, and basically due to some environmental catastrophic undoings of our own cause through moral gymnastic grotesqueries, all helped along by an onslaught of alienation through digital mediation, I like to come here. I like to come here because I find the Salton Sea and its surroundings to be sort of a glimpse into that near future, the edge of the cliff, as it were. But forget all that now. I'm not here as an outside observer or an embedded chronicler, but I am here as a guest down here. I've been around long enough to be considered a friend by some, or at least a valued acquaintance. Enough so that I've been invited to the wedding of Charlie and Maggie. It's to be a great affair, the biggest party that has occurred around here in years. The whole back patio of the bar has been decorated. There's a band playing, and there's white wooden folding chairs lined up in rows with a center aisle. And it appears that everybody's here. Everybody around for miles and miles is here, at least on their way. And everybody is happy. Despite the late September heat, it's quite comfortable, with fans quietly moving the air around. And from my place at the bar, I can see the guests arriving, passing to the door to the back patio. I can hear the revelers laughing. And I stand here waiting for a beer that I ordered like 15 minutes ago. I don't really know anyone that well, and I do have a diagnosed social anxiety disorder. So I didn't really want to be like one of the first through that door out to the patio to stand awkwardly, not knowing anyone. So I thought, I'll get a quick beer, let more people arrive, and perhaps some people I even know a little bit better. And then once that happens, when there's a crowd in there, then I'll slip it and I'll take my seat. But this bartender disappeared. And I have this intuition that if I pass this rumpled fisherman, he might come to life, as I've seen him do on other occasions, and take my arm and hold me in place until he's done speaking whatever has come up out of the shadows of his mind and compelled him to share it emphatically with me. I hear honking outside the bar and cheers, and then the door to the bar bursts open, and there they are. Charlie and Maggie and their wedding party, smiles all around, and comments of, oh, you all clean up nicely, and ain't she a beauty? Charlie looks down the bar and catches my eye and smiles, and then is swept with his bride and party out the door and to the back patio. Clearly the time has come for me to take my seat. I lay $5 on the bar for the beer I've never had, and direct all my focus on the back patio door as I brush past the rumpled fisherman. As if I concentrate past him, I'll be immune to his touch. Just as I'm about to clear him, nearly past him, I feel his hand grip my trailing right arm. "Please, if you have just 1 minute, there's something I need you to hear." His voice was clear and deliberate, sober even, more than I had expected. I turn to face him, and I make a casual attempt to shake his hand off my arm, but he held tight, knowing that if he lost physical contact, I would quickly move along. "I'm sorry, but I'm going to this wedding." And I gesture towards the patio door, as if this is all the explanation I would need. "I mean, you can hear the music, right? I'm already very late." He turned on his bar stool to face me fully and looked up into my eyes. I felt him studying me like he was studying my soul before he spoke. "You have time," he said. "You have time for this."